This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. Growing questions about what caused Saturday's fatal crash of a Mexican Navy sailing ship into the Brooklyn Bridge. The NTSB says the training ship carrying nearly 300 people was leaving a Manhattan pier with the help of a tugboat when it reversed up the East River. Campbell University maritime historian Sal Mercogliano says the ship appears to have been under power, going in reverse instead of forward when it struck the bridge.
Based on video evidence, what we see is a wake coming from the vessel. You don't get a wake on a ship that's being pushed by just wind and current. That indicates that there's some sort of propelling force.
On Monday, President Trump suggested Bruce Springsteen and Beyonce should be investigated to see if appearances they made on behalf of Kamala Harris represented an illegal campaign donation. On tour in Manchester, England, Springsteen told his audience the current administration is corrupt, incompetent, and treasonous. This is ABC News. There's a brand new place families can look to get to Sesame Street.
Sunny days ahead for Sesame Street, thanks to a streaming deal with Netflix. The children's program with stars like Big Bird and The Grouch began on PBS in 1969 and moved to HBO and Max. That deal now coming to a close. Sesame Workshop says the new agreement with Netflix includes releasing new episodes on both the streaming site and PBS on the same day and ensures children everywhere will grow smarter, stronger, and kinder. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Officers at a Costa Rican prison were met with quite a sight after a cat was seen running through their prison yard with packs of illegal drugs strapped to its body. It's unknown where the drugs came from, but officers managed to safely catch the cat and intercept the possible delivery with the country's Animal Health Service, now caring for the runaway feline. Stephanie Officer, ABC News.
Matt Nair on air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had four meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top three things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The announcement by Republicans that they are removing 612 items from Governor Evers' proposed budget. Free school breakfast and lunches, extra money for PFAS monitoring. We've only scratched the surface of some 600 ideas investing in education, protecting consumers, and every one of those things is going to be taken out this week when Republicans meet to form their own budget.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It's the Brewers and Baltimore. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight, the Brewers and Orioles for game two of their three-game series. The crew winning 5-4 last night, thanks to an RBI single from William Contreras, who despite a fractured middle finger on his left hand, had four hits in the game, tying a career high. Pat Murphy.
Hitters don't use their baby fingers that much. They might be on the bat, but these are the two fingers on each hand you hit with. So the pressure of that when you turn the bat over too soon or hit it off the end, the vibration on that is tough.
NBA, Giannis Antetokounmpo scheduled to meet with the Bucks about his future with the team. His older brother, Thanasis, says he's been cleared to play again after suffering that torn Achilles last year. Former Badgers John Tanje, one of the top five scorers during drills at the NBA Combine in Chicago.
You know, to see myself near the top of that leaderboard was pretty amazing. It was kind of surprising. I thought I didn't shoot it too well just because I want to make every single shot.
That's Wisconsin's John Tanje with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Prepare for some heavy rainfall over the next 24 to 36 hours. We'll see showers and storms in the overnight. Morning lows in the lower 40s. Gusty east winds up around 30 to 35 miles per hour. More showers and storms Tuesday and lower 50s. Right now it's 51.
Pat Kreitlow,
Coming up on Tuesday, Pat Kreitlow makes his victorious return to the big chair. We'll hear all about his vacation and cover the big stories from across the nation. Join us.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Professor Howard Schwaber.
The point is worth making that an individual government official with the power to unilaterally declare that people can be seized without any opportunity of a hearing of any kind is getting really close to the model of rule that the American constitutional system is entirely designed to resist.
Entirely designed to resist. Antithetical to our foundational principles.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
And not everything I'm going to talk about today is illegal, but everything that I'm going to talk about today is bad for regular Americans.
Now, The Maggie Dawn Show continues.
I'm a geek. I'm a nerd. I'm a data wonk.
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I talk about food a lot on the show. It's a thing. I am a foodie.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome back, everybody. Hope your Monday has started off well, because it hasn't started off very well for the president. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. I am referring specifically to the fact that the big, beautiful reconciliation bill, although I don't think I've ever heard him actually refer to the bill as a budget reconciliation bill. He doesn't talk like that. There aren't actual technical terms that are used by our president. No, a not so great Monday for the president of the United States. Five Senate Republicans coming out publicly and saying they will not support the budget reconciliation bill in its current form. Now, the interesting point about this, of course, is that their reasoning varies drastically, I guess would be a way to put it, with Ron Johnson in the camp of it's not cruel enough. We need more cuts to Medicaid and Social Security. With Josh Hawley and Senator Susan Collins of Maine saying it's plenty cruel. We actually need to preserve Medicaid. With Rand Paul somewhere in the middle saying I just hate deficits. Don't worry, I've got a great co-host here with me this afternoon to help explain all of it. His name is Matt Rothschild. He authors and produces a wonderful podcast called Wisconsin Forward that you can find on the Civic Media's website, Spotify, Apple Pods, wherever you find your favorite podcasts, you'll find Matt's there. I subscribe and I highly recommend that you do as well. Matt, it is really shocking where we're at. When Republicans can't themselves agree on the reason to hate the bill, it might indicate to you that the bill is worthy of being hated for any number of reasons.
I mean, part of it is, you know, are we going to have a democracy here? Are we going to have our elected officials actually do what their constituents wants? Because the vast majority of Americans don't want these cuts for Medicaid. That's why you have a right winger like Josh Hawley all of a sudden getting religion on keeping Medicaid spending. So there is this real question. And if Trump got his way, he would, and Ron Johnson got his way, they'd totally ignore the wishes of the American people or the wishes of their own constituents, state by state and district by district. But I think the citizenry is really letting people know. That's why I want to give out the number again for people to call Capitol Hill 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. And call your elected officials here in Wisconsin. Everybody should call Ron Johnson and give him an earful, but there are other folks there like Grothman and Tiffany and Van Orden
style
that need to be, you know, have their cage rattled a little bit because they're there to represent us and they're not representing us.
No, polling out today says that in every single congressional district in the country, people don't want cuts to Medicaid, and yet Republicans marching on with the cuts to Medicaid. And according to Senator Ron Johnson and many GOP congresspeople, the cuts just aren't enough. Princess Kathy from Madison says this: I have a 41-year-old daughter on the autism spectrum who is on Medicare because both her father and I are retired. She also has a seizure and fainting disorder and has been dismissed from nonprofit programs after having seizures due to liability concerns. Is she going to be expected to work, or will they decide people who can't work for their benefits belong in institutions because that'll happen over my dead body? I mean, yeah, these are some of the problems that we're talking about, and it seems to me that Republicans don't want to talk about actual impacts. They don't want to confront the number of 13.7 million Americans without health care. They just want to talk about cost cutting and deficits. Listen, we're going to have to address the deficit issue in this country. My answer is, let's start on the revenue side of the equation. Let's start with taxing people who make hundreds of millions of dollars, who inherit vast, vast quantities of generational wealth. These are the things that I think the vast majority of voters and working people can agree on. Estate taxes used to kick in at like $600,000. Now they don't kick in until like $27 million. I mean, that's an insanity, in my opinion, and it is deeply unfair. You want to get in on this conversation? Joe from Madison, we just lost you on the line. Please feel free to give us a call back. Rebecca from Milwaukee, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Again, that number to Congress that Matt has provided, 202-224-3121. I also wanted to correct a statistic. Social Security tax ends at $176,001. If you make over $176,000 a year, your $176,001 is not subject to Social Security tax, which means in nanoseconds after the first of the year, Jeff Bezos, George Soros, Elon Musk, Warren Buffett, all the rest of the billionaire class, they were done paying Social Security taxes within a second or so. Kurt from Madison says this: I am so ticked off about if Dems get control of Congress, this is, I think, his point, are they prepared to go all out to work for the middle class? I think that's a big question, Kurt. And I think some of what Democrats are trying to figure out is, how do we reestablish our bona fides with a lot of people who feel left behind? Matt, what do you say?
Yeah, well, I mean, Democrats should be able to make the sale on paid family leave, for instance, on increasing the minimum wage, on health care for everybody, and free college education. That's what we need. Those are all popular things. That's what we need to advocate for. We can't retreat from those and try to mollify a certain group that we think will help us over the finish line. I think if we stand up for what we really believe in and know what's morally the way to go, I think we're going to make gains.
Yeah, Kurt clarifies he's ticked off with these early a.m. votes in the middle of the night, like at 1 a.m.
Yeah, that's not democracy.
No, it certainly damn well isn't. And GOPers in our state legislature pull the same kind of crap all the time as well. Joe from Madison, glad to see you back. Say hi to Matt. What you got for us?
Great show and great guest in the last half hour that you had. I'd love to hear from him again. I just wanted to state, in terms of this question of Medicaid and who's affected by it, I was going to call in because I had heard that up to one-fourth of nursing home residents are paid for by Medicaid, which to me is gigantic. I mean, that's a huge number of people who are affected, and their families who may not be in a position to provide care at home for people. So I just wanted to check that stat. So I did the usual, Siri, is it true that one-fourth of nursing home residents are paid for by Medicaid? And it came back. Sadly, it came back, no, it's not true. In fact, over two-thirds, 60 to 70% of nursing home residents are covered by Medicaid, making it the primary payer for most residents. So let's imagine what's going to happen if you have big cuts there in terms of who's going to pick up the care, who's going to stay home and take care of elderly residents or friends or family members, who's going to do that? Or who is going to be picking up the slack when the workers in those nursing homes are looking at those kinds of cuts? There are all sorts of people that are employed by nursing homes, and, you know, it's a good job. You know, it can pay okay and provide some satisfaction. I mean, two-thirds, 60 to 70% of nursing home residents are covered by Medicaid. What will happen to those people? So,
thanks so much, Joe. Matt, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm glad Joe brought that up. This is what Medicaid covers. It covers people in nursing homes. It covers folks who are disabled. It covers health care for poor Americans. And that means largely poor kids, too.
Yes.
What are you saying to those poor kids? They just shouldn't get coverage. And so that's why a majority of Americans in every congressional district, as you pointed out, Maggie, support Medicaid. They understand enough that Medicaid is a crucial program. They don't want cuts in Medicaid. And yet you have people like Ron Johnson saying you got to make it more savage.
It occurs to me that just as J.D. Vance and many Republicans who are completely out of touch, who don't have the cell phone numbers of billionaires, just like J.D. Vance would say, well, just call up your in-laws to provide childcare. Since everybody's got wealthy in-laws who are retired with tons of time on their hand, these out-of-touch GOPers who hobnob with 100 millionaires and billionaires, oh, well, you can just afford to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for your parents' or grandparents' nursing home care. That is insane. They have no idea what it's like for regular working people, and their solutions are pie-in-the-sky nonsense that's brought about because they themselves have never wondered where their health care is coming from, where their meals are coming from, or who's paying their bills. They were born with a silver spoon in their mouth. And though J.D. Vance wasn't born like that, he spent the last 15 years of his life rubbing elbows with the haves of the world. And I think so much of this is born out of deep, deep out-of-touchedness. 'Cause these are real issues. I mean, who the heck can afford $20,000 a month, $10,000 a month for nursing home care? It would crush 99% of American families.
Yeah, no one can afford it. And then the idea that you just find a relative, you know, a lot of people don't have relatives who are available to take care of, your mom or your dad or your grandparents. That idea that there's just an easy out if the doors get closed on the nursing home or you don't get paid to send your parents or grandparents to the nursing home, it's just not realistic.
And you talk to people in northern Wisconsin, they talk about this problem. Hospitals closing, you can't find general practitioners, you can't find OBGYNs, you cannot find nursing homes with open beds. I know family members of mine who have been on waiting lists for months trying to get into nursing homes who live in northern Wisconsin. It's absolutely unconscionable. I've got Matt Rothschild with me. He is our fine guest co-host. We're going to queue up the discussion about Ukraine. Two big pieces of news today, Matt. The first is that Donald Trump spent a couple of hours on the phone with Vladimir Putin. We'll talk about what came of that today. I also want to talk about the news-making editorial written by the former ambassador to Ukraine, who officially resigned over the weekend. She penned an op-ed in the Detroit Free Press. Her name is Bridget A. Brink, and she said that she could not carry on working for the Trump.
I think it's Wendy McMahon, actually, right? The ambassador?
No, the former U.S. ambassador in Kyiv, Bridget A. Brink, wrote that. All right. This is why there's two of us. Teamwork effort here, Matt. She wrote that she could not continue to work for the Trump administration. That, quote, put pressure on the victim, Ukraine, rather than on the aggressor, Russia, end quote. We'll continue that discussion. You all are welcome to join us, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Get Matt Rothschild with me. I'm Maggie Dawn. And each and every one of you, this important discussion continues on the other side. Keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Eagle, 1490 AM. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
I'm as guilty as anybody about this, not talking to real people in person. I'm sorry, I don't believe that texting or video conferencing or any other of that jazz can supplement one-on-one interaction. We as humans need other humans. We need to connect with people. So anyway, that's the public service announcement to start off the week. Get outside and talk to real live humans. You'll feel better.
Catch The Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on lacrosseeagle.com/contest-terms. Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I've got Matt Rothschild with me. He hosts a fantastic podcast called Wisconsin Forward. You can find it on the Civic Media website at civicmedia.us, on Apple Pods and Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts at. We're talking about Trump's phone call today with Vladimir Putin. I have not yet gotten a hold of the readout from it, Matt. But I did read some early media reporting saying basically it was a nothing burger. Nothing happened. And the context here, why nothing happened, I think was entirely and utterly predictable. I'd like to get Matt's opinion. I'd like to ask each and every one of you what you thought about it. 855-752-4842. To set up some context here, I want to listen to some sound from Secretary of State Marco Rubio. Jacob, let's take cut 8.
Well, again, it's not expecting. It's my assessment, which I think the president shares, that the only one who can break this logjam at this point, if it can be broken, is President Trump. He just wants to end the war. He doesn't care who gets the credit for it. He doesn't care who went first. He wants the war to end. He outlined this in his speech a couple of nights ago, where he talked about the fact that we, you know, he hopes to live in a world where we are building, not destroying. And so that's what he's trying to do here, is achieve peace. At the end, we all have to remember that this is the goal here. The goal here is not to claim victory one side over the other or to gloat about who outmaneuvered who. The goal here is to end a conflict where everyday people are dying. And the longer it takes to end this war, the more people will die. This war will eventually end with a negotiated settlement. It will not end with a military solution. The problem is that every day that goes by, and the longer it takes, the more people will die and the more destruction there's going to be. And that's what he's motivated by, 100% entirely motivated by bringing about peace. And that's what we endeavor to do here. And so it's my view, which I think the president has publicly shared as well, it's his view, I should say, which I share, that the only way we're going to get a breakthrough at this point after what's happened here is for the president to directly engage, probably at a personal level, and determine once and for all what it is the Russian side wants and whether peace is possible.
You know, Maggie, the funniest part about that to me was Marco Rubio, who's such a sycophant, saying that Trump wouldn't gloat about it. Trump gloats about everything. And the idea that he doesn't care who would get credit for this, you can bet that Trump would be bragging to the high heavens if he got this deal.
You could take each sentence of that and basically rebut it. And the fact that he rephrased my perspective that the president also agrees with, I mean, the president's perspective that I agree with.
Right.
He can't even just say what he thinks. And this is where what the former ambassador had to say in the Detroit Free Press. She published the op-ed in the Detroit Free Press because she's a native Michigander. What she said is that peace at any price is not peace at all. It is appeasement. And that is Donald Trump's approach. He is appeasing Vladimir Putin. He is appeasing the aggressor. He is appeasing the man who invaded Ukraine. Peace at any price here, peace with appeasing Putin, is no peace at all. It's illusory because it places the entire security of the rest of Western Europe and places the security interests of the United States by extension at risk. It's frankly a lie. It is a wolf dressed up in lamb's clothing. I want to take this other bit of sound from Secretary of State Rubio because it gets a little deeper on these points that we're talking about. Let's take a listen to this next piece.
I mean, they're not critics of the U.S. then. They're critics of peace. We want the war to end. We want the war to end. We want to save lives. We want to stop the killing and the maiming and the destruction. That's our goal. I continue to be puzzled why anyone would be critical of efforts to achieve peace, which is what we're trying to achieve here. And the president feels like he has a unique opportunity, potentially, to be a catalyst for that. He's going to attempt to do it. So in the end, you know, that I think that what should be celebrated is that we have an American president, the leader of the most powerful nation on earth, who is attempting to be a peacemaker, not a war maker. And that's something that I think is commendable, not something that should be a subject of criticism. So our goal here is to achieve peace. Whether that begins with a 30-day ceasefire or a one-day ceasefire or a final deal that's all negotiated in one day, the process to us is less important than the outcome. And the outcome needs to be not just a peace, but a sustainable peace, a durable peace. That's our goal. That's what we're going to try to continue to achieve in any way we can.
Is it a durable peace, though, if there are not guarantees for Ukraine's safety? I mean, that's one of the big sticking points right now. And Trump, when you heard him after his phone call with Putin, there was no stick. It was just all carrots. We'll give you great trade deals. We'll give you all this money. We'll relieve you from the sanctions. But there's no other side to it. There's no penalty if he doesn't come to the table.
Well, and here to me is the entire rub. Here's the piece that gives away the game. It's all carrot for Russia. It's all stick for Ukraine. Meaning Rubio, Trump, and others have repeated that if this doesn't come to some kind of resolution so that President Trump can pat himself on the back, take credit for peace at any price, and say, look what I did, they're simply going to walk away from Ukraine. They are not going to support Ukraine anymore. And if that is the position that's being taken publicly by Secretary of State Rubio and the president, which has been restated again and again and again, there is absolutely, why would Russia agree to any, but why would they do that? if you're about to yank all of the support of the United States from Ukraine, why would Russia agree to any peace? They simply keep pushing forward because the United States is about to rip the rug out from under Ukraine. It is unconscionable. When we come back, we're going to talk about some incredible breaking news coming out of a CBS CEO resignation, and we're going to get to Joe Biden's cancer diagnosis. Don't go anywhere. I got Matt Rothschild, each and every one of you with me. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. Growing questions about what caused Saturday's fatal crash of a Mexican Navy sailing ship into the Brooklyn Bridge. The NTSB says the training ship carrying nearly 300 people was leaving a Manhattan pier with the help of a tugboat when it reversed up the East River. Campbell University maritime historian Sal Mercogliano says the ship appears to have been under power, going in reverse instead of forward when it struck the bridge.
Based on video evidence, what we see is a wake coming from the vessel. You don't get a wake on a ship that's being pushed by just wind and current. That indicates that there's some sort of propelling force.
On Monday, President Trump suggested Bruce Springsteen and Beyonce should be investigated to see if appearances they made on behalf of Kamala Harris represented an illegal campaign donation. On tour in Manchester, England, Springsteen told his audience the current administration is corrupt, incompetent, and treasonous. This is ABC News.
It's the Brewers in Baltimore. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight, the Brewers and Orioles for game two of their three-game series. The crew winning 5-4 last night thanks to an RBI single from William Contreras, who despite a fractured middle finger on his left hand, had four hits in the game, tying a career high. Pat Murphy.
Hitters don't use their baby fingers that much. They might be on the bat, but these are the two fingers on each hand you hit with. So the pressure of that when you turn the bat over too soon or hit it off the end, the vibration on that is tough.
NBA, Giannis Antetokounmpo scheduled to meet with the Bucks about his future with the team. His older brother, Thanasis, says he's been cleared to play again after suffering that torn Achilles last year. Former Badgers John Tanjay, one of the top five scorers during drills at the NBA Combine in Chicago.
You know, to see myself near the top of that leaderboard was pretty amazing. It was kind of surprising. I thought I didn't shoot it too well just because I want to make every single shot.
That's Wisconsin's John Tanjay with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Mission Impossible opens in just 3 days and already has pulled in $12 million prior to its domestic release. Tom Cruise is on a press tour receiving standing ovations, and the latest is in New York, where Cruise addressed the crowd at the premiere. Cruise said it was director Christopher McQuarrie's idea 7 years ago to shoot Dead Reckoning Part 1 and the current Final Reckoning at the same time. He told the crowd it was an honor and a privilege to be part of the franchise. The film had its worldwide premiere at Cannes last week and also received a 5-minute standing ovation. It opens this Friday, May 23rd. More news out of the Cannes Film Festival, where fans of Wes Anderson will be thrilled to learn that he received almost an 8-minute standing ovation after the premiere of his film, The Phoenician Scheme. The film has an impressive ensemble cast, which includes Wisconsinite Willem Dafoe and Benicio del Toro in the lead. It's reviewing well and opens June 6th in the U.S. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Prepare for some heavy rainfall over the next 24 to 36 hours. We'll see showers and storms in the overnight. Morning lows in the lower 40s. Gusty east winds up around 30 to 35 miles per hour. More showers and storms Tuesday and lower 50s. Right now, it's 51.
Matt and Air on Air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had four meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top three things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt and Air on Air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Hello, Bluey.
Talking with our pal Stuart J. Waddles. This is an episode of Bluey that Stuart turned me on to. I like this show so much. Would it be weird if I left my wife, remarried, and had kids with someone else just so I could watch Bluey with my new set of kids?
I don't think it'd be that weird. I've heard a weirder.
You have?
Make a great story.
You get the exclusive.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on this show, we will review all things Wisconsin with Pat Kreitlow and then Missy Hughes. The Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation going to talk about Wisconsin business and tariffs.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I've got a great co-host with me today. His name is Matt Rothschild. You can find his fantastic podcast, Wisconsin Forward, on the Civic Media website. Matt, I wanted to next talk with you about really what has been going on at a number of legacy TV and print media companies, focusing mainly on the news of the day, which is CBS News's CEO resigned. She was basically forced out. This comes on the heels of Bill Owens, the 60 Minutes executive producer for a long time, quitting and basically saying he's not going to work in a, quote, news TV on a news TV program where the corporate overlords are telling them what can and cannot be aired and run and how they may or may not cover certain things. There are lawsuits going on. Trump is threatening ABC News over its coverage of the Qatar jet. He posted on Truth Social. Now I see they're at it again. These sleaze bags have a fair warning. The wonderful country of Qatar deserves much better than misleading fake news. Everyone, including their lawyers, has been told that ABC must not say that Qatar is giving me a free Boeing 747 airplane because they are not. CBS, of course, settling this lawsuit that they would have won because they're trying to sell CBS to a Paramount, which is the owner of CBS, is trying to sell their media company to another studio, and they need Trump's approval, his administration's approval of that merger. It's just right. All so unseemly. And now there is reporting that just came out in the last hour or so. And it's important, the CBS News CEO resigned as of this morning, effectively forced out. The last installment for this season of 60 Minutes aired last night. This coming out that Paramount, that owns CBS, their co-CEO, George Cheeks, floated the idea to preempt 60 Minutes' entire and CBS's entire lineup, including 60 Minutes yesterday, which had a segment on Donald Trump and the IRS. People freaked out and the idea was dropped. You know, one of the key pillars of any democracy is a free press. This doesn't seem so free, does it?
No, Maggie, and you put your finger on it when you mentioned the corporate overlords, because yes, this is a crisis for our democracy when you have huge corporations that are running our media organizations. They're not into informing the public. They're into making a profit. And if making a profit gets in the way of giving people their news, they won't give people the news. And let's just make this personal. Sherry Redstone, who's the owner of Paramount Global, stands to make a crisp $500 million, $530 million if the sale goes through to Skydance Media. So that's why they're, you know, getting tough on 60 Minutes, and that's why they wanted to pull the thing. And that's why they're settling the suit from Donald Trump, because she's going to make half a bill.
The greed overriding any of their obligations as the owner of a media company or a studio that also owns a media company is just so disgusting to me. I can't think of a better word. If you don't know what it means to own a newspaper or a CBS, a network news provider, then sell it to someone who does, but don't wreck the thing on your way out. I mean, Sherry Redstone and George Cheeks and Bob Iger, like, do something to protect and stand up for media and the free press. You can defend these lawsuits. You have deep, deep coffers. Stand up and fight for it. Jeff Bezos, instead of, you know, canning the political cartoons, stick up for the freedom of the press. You have enough money. Do you need to buy more jets, more yachts, more penis-shaped rockets, Mr. Bezos? It's just so infuriating. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Troy from Mount Harp, say hello to Matt. What you got for us?
Hello, Maggie. Hello, Matt. How are you guys doing?
Hey, Troy. We're doing fine. Troy, what's on your mind?
Great, great. Real quick, Bezos also killed Kamala endorsement in the
yes.
Washington Post, mm-hmm. too.
And the LA yeah. Times billionaire yeah. overlord did the same thing.
Yeah, and Bezos yep. also got rid of really gutted the opinion section of the Washington Post and told him not to write about Trump on the opinion pages of the Washington Post.
Yes. Go ahead, Troy.
Hello?
Yep,
oh,
go
I'm
ahead.
Sorry. one other thing, back to the last thing. Do you think Trump would go to Putin and say, hey, this until I get the Nobel Peace Prize for stopping, and then you can do whatever you want?
You mean Donald Trump engage in an ego-stroking quid pro quo to elevate his own perception of himself? No, Troy, that could never happen. Thanks for the call, Troy. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Yeah, what has been going on with Paramount, ABC, and CBS is really disgusting. And what's getting lost in all of this, Matt, in my opinion, is the fact that Fox News admitted repeatedly in court filings that their people lie on air, that it's not news, that no one should take it seriously, that no reasonable person watching Fox News would ever think that what they're saying is actually news. When they were sued by Dominion and the other voting machine companies for defamation, for repeating the big lie over and over and over again, they admitted in court filings that no one would believe what their anchors are saying. And one of those anchors that said all of that insane stuff is now slated to become the U.S. attorney in the District of Columbia. But CBS and ABC, like, bending the knee. It's just everything. Up is down, left is right. It seems very, very dystopic, to use a word.
Yeah, I mean, this capitulation by pillars of our civil society is really alarming. You had the big lawyers in New York cave. You had Columbia University cave. You know, now you've got CBS caving. You had Washington Post caving. You had the LA Times caving. This isn't a time to cave. We need all the pillars of civil society and everyone listening, all citizens, to stand up and defend our democracy and not bow down in front of Donald Trump and kiss his ring.
Yeah, the in particular, what I've seen in some of these legacy media outfits is just disgusting. To bridge to a potentially related subject that seems to have gripped the entire right-wing talk universe is the alleged conspiracy amongst the media to cover up Joe Biden's ailing health, whether you're talking about his mental health or what has come out today, a diagnosis of an aggressive form of prostate cancer. I have resisted talking about someone talking about Joe Biden's mental health, because that's what Jake Tapper's book is. It's just somebody talking. It's a series of observations about Joe Biden's mental health. I do think that those around the former president should have had much more candid, uncomfortable conversations about his ability to get through the rigors of a campaign and the rigors of another four-year term. There's no question that that should have happened. Any question about whether or not that should have happened was answered on the day he blew his debate with Donald Trump. That was not a man who could be president again for 4 years. I was deeply disturbed.
Absolutely, Maggie. I walked into the Civic Media headquarters the morning after, and I was apoplectic. I mean, I just couldn't believe it. And I knew he was a goner. But it is a very sad day for the former president and for his family. I hope there are recent advances in prostate treatment. I hope that'll serve him well and he gets a couple good years ahead. But, it's unfortunate. But on the Jake Tapper thing, I mean, I'm pretty much over it. You know, I came to terms with what happened and I want to move on. We got bigger things in front of us, like Donald Trump and crushing our democracy in the United States. But it is a hot topic right now. And, you know, there's plenty of blame to go around. And of course, no one was stopping Gavin Newsom or Gretchen Whitmer from throwing their hat in the ring. You know, anyone could have joined the primary battle.
Isn't that part of the question is, were there pressures coming from within the DNC or what have you to keep the Pritzkers, the Newsoms, the Whitmers, the Bashirs, whomever it may have been, from engaging in a robust primary?
I mean, there might have been pressure, but, you know, stand up.
They still make the call.
Right.
You're damn right. You're damn right, Matt. And this is where we get to the idea of the framers never intended for us to have a two-party system. And I don't think it's been working particularly well. And I think Democrats would be well served by actually inviting vigorous primaries, by inviting a lot of open debate about what the direction of the party should be, instead of enforcing sort of party orthodoxy from top down. I think people are suspicious of that. I think, frankly, the 2016 primary with Clinton and Sanders, people were suspicious of that. It turned voters off. And I think we need to re-embrace the idea that through vigorous debate comes better ideas, to stand as the antithesis of the cultish of MAGA, to invite those debates, those discussions, those differences, and bring them out into the open and try to come up with better ideas because of it. My one comment on the president's diagnosis, the former president's diagnosis, is it is tragic. This is a man who's given his entire life in public service to drag his reputation and legacy through the mud again, to make presumptions about what was known or diagnosed before when there is no evidence to support it, is unbecoming of any American. And the fact of the matter is that prostate diagnosis, you can have a clean PSA screen, you can come back a year later, and you can have a stage 4 diagnosis. This is apparently in his bones. The man has a battle in front of him. Mm-hmm. He deserves our prayers and support instead of speculation and baseless accusations until more is known. Matt, any final thoughts on
enough is enough. I mean, we all saw the debate. We all realized that he wasn't up to it. You know, there are a lot of things that could have happened. Yes, he could have dropped out after the midterms. My fantasy always was he was going to hand the keys over to Kamala Harris for a couple years and let her drive and see how she did and see how the American public liked it. He didn't do those things. We know that. We've been over this ground a ton. Give the man some peace now.
Yes. Folks, we got Matt Rothschild with me. My name's Maggie Don. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Did you know that there was a state Republican convention just over the weekend in a place called Rothschild, Wisconsin? No relation to my fine guest co-host. We're going to listen to some of the insane things that got said at the convention and talk about it in our last segment of the day. So don't go anywhere. We got Jacob on the board, Matt in the co-host chair with me, and each and every one of you. Keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, 855-752-4842. Come back with us. We'll be right back.
as Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Wherever you are in Wisconsin, there's a free and confidential Aging and Disability Resource Center, ADRC, or Tribal Partner Agency. We're here for older adults, adults with disabilities, and your families. ADRCs are a bridge to support for benefits and financial assistance, transportation, in-home care, and more. Get to know your local ADRC and connect with resources today. Call toll-free 1-844-WIS-ADRC or go to findmyadrc.org. Paid for by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Professor Howard Schwaber.
The point is worth making that an individual government official with the power to unilaterally declare that people can be seized without any opportunity of a hearing of any kind is getting really close to the model of rule that the American constitutional system is entirely designed to resist.
Entirely designed to resist. Antithetical to our foundational principles.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The announcement by Republicans that they are removing 612 items from Governor Evers' proposed budget. Free school breakfast and lunches, extra money for PFAS monitoring. We've only scratched the surface of some 600 ideas investing in education, protecting consumers, and every one of those things is going to be taken out this week when Republicans meet to form their own budget.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on lacrosseeagle.com/contest-terms. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. Here we are already. It's the last segment of the day. We got Pete Schwab's Nightlight coming up next on the Civic Media Radio Network, so don't go anywhere. But right now I got Matt Rothschild in the co-host seat with me. And the Republicans here in the state of Wisconsin had their annual convention in, of no relation, Rothschild, Wisconsin. And boy, some eyebrow-raising things went down at the convention. First of all, they wouldn't give Civic Media media credentials. Let's just start with that one.
Really? That's which, gross.
What you guys afraid of, you chickens? I mean, come on, give us credentials. What's the problem? That, I think, is kind of insane to begin with. But setting aside my problem with them for not giving us credentials to cover their convention, they had an internal poll that occurred during the convention, and here was one of the questions on it. The U.S. Constitution limits presidents to serving two terms. Barring a change to that law, whom would you support if the 2028 GOP primary for president were held today? What do you mean, barring a change to the what? I mean, they have to write it like that because half, probably more than half of the delegates would be like, give me Trump for another term.
I'm sure they would, and they just confused the Constitution with a statute, which is just a terrible civics error that any seventh grader or high school social studies student want to make, but there you have it.
Yeah, it's not a, quote, change to the law when it's the Constitution. It would need to read, barring an adopted amendment to our Constitution.
Yeah,
it's not like a legislature and a governor just being like, eh, let's just, we'll change this bit of U.S. code here. No. It's in the Constitution. I'm not even going to give them credit for pointing out that the Constitution limits presidents to two terms. My goodness. It is frightening. But why might they be considering a third term, Matt? Might it be because they think they can't win without the guy? Jacob, let's take cut one. This is Senator Ron Johnson saying as much.
Oftentimes, I know JFK said this, other people have said this, that victory has 1,000 fathers, defeat is an orphan. Well, in this case, I'd argue defeat had 634,000 fathers. Those are the voters who came out to try and save America by electing Donald Trump, that did not come out and try and ensure that he would have 4 years where he could implement his agenda without possibly the majority shifting in the House. 634,000 people didn't do that. So now you start hearing this thing that we've, you know, Republicans have low propensity voters. Used to be the exact opposite. You know, Republicans used to have the advantage in low turnout elections. Apparently not anymore. Just to give you a clue of what's happened in the last two judiciary elections with Dan Kelly and Brad Schimmel, both of those candidates got 61 and 62% of my vote and then Trump's vote. But the Democrat candidates for those justice positions got 78% both years. Unbelievably consistent. That is a problem we must address because, let's face it, as much as many would want Donald Trump to be on the ballot again, he won't be. He won't be. And we're going to have to figure out how we win without Donald Trump on the ballot here in Wisconsin. So that's just a hard truth. We're going to have to figure that out.
Can't win without Trump. Gee whiz. Doubling down on this idea of Republicans can't win without Trump and what are we going to do about it? Well, don't worry. Derek Van Orten has a suggestion. Just cancel those damn pesky elections. Let's take cut seven.
What do you think went wrong or what goes wrong in spring elections here in Wisconsin?
Republicans don't vote, period. Like, we just don't vote in spring elections.
How do you change that?
I don't think we should have a spring election. I think we need to, these guys in the State House, I think they should get rid of that and fold it into a midterm or a four-year cycle.
Can't win a spring election? Cancel the spring election.
Cancel them. This is typical DVO nonsense. I mean, if you want to get someone to say something that's offensive to large swaths of his own constituents or offensive to the baseline principles of democracy, just stick a mic in Derek Van Orten's face. He'll come up with something. By the way, new reporting in today that Derek Van Orten is what? What, ladies and gentlemen? Oh, yes, supporting cuts to veterans benefits and the VA. Isn't that lovely? I'm not sure if we've got sound on that, but gee whiz, Derek Van Orten, I'll never cut food stamps and SNAP. Except I'll support the $300+ billion dollars in cuts to SNAP. I'll never cut veterans benefits or the VA, except I'll do exactly that as a congressman.
If Trump wants him to, he's such a little Trump toady.
Yes, a complete toady. Speaking of being a toady, let's take cut four, more DVO.
Just so you know, Donald J. Trump follows me on Truth Social.
That wow. is what Derek Van Orten, I mean, I swear to God, people, Matt and I did not set up that bit. He just said, DVO, complete Trump toady. That's what he's most worried about, is whether or not Trump follows him on Truth Social. Oh, the pathos. Oh, the pathos. I think I might save for tomorrow some of the more gruesome things that Grothman had to say. Gruesome Glenn Grothman. Some of our state's best at the convention this past afternoon. Big thanks to you, Matt, for helping me start out these weeks. I appreciate
my
pleasure, time with
Maggie.
You. Good to have you. That's Matt Rothschild. You can find his podcast, Wisconsin Forward, on Civic Media's website, Apple Pods and Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast from. I'm Maggie Dawn. That's going to do it for me today. Keep it locked on Civic Media. You got Pete Schwab's Nightlight coming up next. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it's always better when we stand together for the 13.7 million Americans on Medicaid.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. A tentative agreement has been reached to end the New Jersey transit strike. New Jersey officials and the union representing the striking train engineers and operators confirmed the deal. During a news conference Sunday, NJ Transit CEO Chris Colari praised their contingency plan that had been in effect.
My entire objective is to make sure they get back to work, and so do all the other union members, so we can get our customers moving safely and efficiently again.
A Delaware animal shelter is trying to care for and rehome thousands of chicks that survived being left in a postal service truck for 3 days. Trapped without food and water, 12,000 chicks were abandoned and thousands died before they were discovered. Questions now as to how that happened. The USPS